For government and business leaders, AI isn't the future, it's the force reshaping today. The Tech Guide helps organizations move from exploration to execution. Check out the Tech Guide, available now at guidehouse.com.
Welcome to Tech News Briefing. It's Friday, December 12th. I'm Katie Dayton for The Wall Street Journal. Have you heard about Tilly Norwood, the actress primed to take Hollywood by storm? She's beautiful, she's adaptable, and she's not real. We investigate why a former actress spent months generating the perfect AI counterpart and became the talk of Hollywood in the process. Then we're exploring the new frontier of orbital data centers. Elon Musk and Jeff Bezos are leading the push to take the gigantic infrastructure required to power AI and launch it into space. Stay tuned to find out how what sounds like a science fiction dream may become a reality. But first, Tilly Norwood is a brown-haired, brown-eyed, 24-year-old actress who would have big dreams if she was sentient. She's an AI-generated creation that took 6 months to build and garnered more than a few negative headlines when she was revealed to the world as the first AI movie star. But not much is known about Tilly's creator or what her career prospects might look like from here. WSJ reporter Ellen Gammerman has been working to find out. So, Ellen, tell us about Tilly. Does she have any discernible personality traits aside from being astoundingly beautiful?
Well, that's what's happening right now. Her creator, Eileen van der Velden, is right now building her brain, which means building out her personality and her behavior, and eventually even how she can respond one-on-one with fans. What we've seen right now from promotional videos and little snippets is that she's a little bit sassy, but she's also a little bit weirdly self-aware. Like, she calls herself the end of civilization because so many people have been so upset about her being created.
Bit of a sarcastic quality to her then. So you mentioned her creator, Eileen van der Velden. Can you tell us a little bit about who she is and why she would go to all this trouble to make this character?
She lives in London. She had been working on AI production with her own studio, and it had been mostly hybrid projects, but she was getting into full AI films, completely computer made. And she started to notice AI influencers on her feed. And she thought, well, AI movie stars are just the next thing that's going to happen. So why not create one right now? And the reason she felt qualified is because she's a former actress. And when she wasn't acting, she was making little comic videos for YouTube and BBC Three, where she would create these characters. So she felt like she already knew how to build the ideal movie starlet.
And it's fair to say that the reaction to Tilly in Hollywood so far has not been positive. You have the legendary director James Cameron describing her as horrifying at one point. What kind of fears over the future of Hollywood is this all tapping into?
It's tapping into these fears that everyone there is replaceable, including now actors, and that already they're seeing jobs go to AI that used to go to people, but in the technical arena. So the real fear is that this could start seeping into the creative arena.
And how has Eileen responded to those criticisms?
Look, she is a former actress. She feels kinship with other actors. She does not want to replace them. What she sees is this being its own art form. AI can build worlds in ways that traditional filmmaking can't. And she imagines a world where there's a kind of a creative renaissance, where these filmmakers who specialize in AI are building out their own characters and scenarios that are completely separate from and not in competition with traditional filmmaking. There's a lot of skepticism about that from people who make their living making films the traditional way.
So the plan for Tilly is to become a Hollywood star. What is she at this point in time? Obviously, we haven't quite yet seen AI characters and actors appearing in films yet. So is she auditioning for anything? Is she actually acting at this point? How does all of that work?
It's such a good question. It's kind of happening already, according to Vandervelden, who says she's signed more than 60 non-disclosure agreements with various Hollywood players, different producers and people who are very interested in making either partly AI or fully AI films. And everyone is so freaked out about it that no one wants their name to be known. So all of her projects are very hush-hush right now. But I do wonder what they will look like in the final form and if this is really going to turn into an actual AI movie star. We still don't know.
That was WSJ reporter Ellen Gammerman. Would you watch a movie featuring an AI actor? If you're a listener on Spotify, be sure to let us know in this episode's poll or leave us a comment. Coming up, President John F. Kennedy once called space the new frontier. Now, space itself is becoming a new frontier for AI data centers. That's after the break.
For government and business leaders, AI isn't the future, it's the force reshaping today. The Tech Guide helps organizations move from exploration to execution. Check out the Tech Guide, available now at guidehouse.com.
A new space race is on, and this time, it's all about data. Space companies backed by tech billionaires on Earth are hoping to move AI data centers into orbit. Jeff Bezos' Blue Origin has been working for more than a year on the technology needed to make it happen, while Elon Musk's SpaceX plans to use an upgraded version of its Starlink satellites to host AI computing payloads. WSJ space reporter Micah Maidenberg has the details. So, Micah, your article has all the components of a 2025 story. You've got Musk, Bezos, AI. Can you start by explaining why some say we need data centers in space?
Yeah, there's a push and a pull. The push is the data center construction rush here on the ground is rife with complexity and headaches. Supply chain delays, construction issues, and energy and power. Where do you get the electricity to run data centers? The pull factor is literally straight out of science fiction. People have been talking about harnessing the immense power of the sun in space for applications back on the ground for decades. And when you talk to folks in space and AI, or at the intersection of both of those, their argument is we're at the point where launch costs and satellite sort of component production costs maybe are low enough to make that science fiction dream a reality.
These data centers on Earth are absolutely huge, which begs the question of how you'd ever get something that size into space. Do these companies that are interested in this have a strategic idea of how they're going to make that work?
So, right, in space, as people are trying to get their heads around like the design here, think of like smaller, perhaps thousands upon thousands of satellites working in sort of a cluster, working as like a network. There are some technical and sort of physics-based reasons why actually having smaller devices, but many of them that are linked up with each other and transmitting data back to the ground make more sense than doing these huge devices.
And what kind of costs, monetary and otherwise, are we talking about here?
There's not a lot of precedent for, say, getting 10,000 satellites operating as a cluster to provide gigawatt scale AI computing services in space. I mean, SpaceX has around 9,000 satellites for its Starlink satellite internet business, and that's the largest satellite fleet deployed in history. So just to build the number of satellites, that's very difficult and costly. And then to launch them over and over and over, that's also a long process, difficult and costly. And so even with lower launch costs, with better components, electronics, tech for satellites, you're talking about costs that pile up really, really quickly. And that leads a lot of people to sort of look at this idea and say, it ain't going to happen. And the dynamics on the ground will also continue to change. Maybe new power sources come online, supply chain constraints ease, and so on and so forth. So that's part of the debate that's happening right now.
So a huge effort required. How mm-hmm. much are companies putting into making this happen? How seriously are they taking this?
Google is working with this company, a satellite operator and builder called Planet Labs, and they have described their efforts here as an experiment. They're going to send a couple of AI compute satellites to orbit in early 2027, test out the systems, and try to get data to like move forward. Musk is making significant pronouncements about what may be possible over at SpaceX. Jeff Bezos's space company Blue Origin has had a team working on orbital data centers for more than a year. They're very serious about this, as I understand it. And then there's a bunch of other companies that are also trying to like figure out how they would get involved here. Sam Altman, the CEO of OpenAI, has investigated trying to find a way to map OpenAI onto a rocket company. Because again, if you're going to send potentially thousands of AI compute satellites to orbit, you need a way to get them there.
So many players at the top of this game. I wonder if this has the potential to create a whole new industry of launching and running these space data centers.
For like rocket launchers, the prospect is very exciting because rockets are expensive, difficult, complicated. They're time consuming to build. And then when you build one, you've got to find payloads to like send to space. But it's just, you have to come back to time and again that this is an idea at this point. This is unproven with both engineering and technical and immense cost hurdles. So we need to see how this stuff starts to prove out beyond the discussions and presentations and those sorts of things.
That was WSJ reporter Micah Maidenberg. And that's it for Tech News Briefing. If you're a listener on Spotify, be sure to take this episode's poll or leave us a comment. Today's show was produced by Julie Chang. I'm your host, Katie Dayton. Jessica Fenton and Michael Laval wrote our theme music. Our supervising producer is Katie Ferguson. Jessica Fenton is our technical manager. Our development producer is Aisha Al-Muslim. Chris Dinsley is the deputy editor. And Falana Patterson is the Wall Street Journal's head of news audio. We'll be back later this morning with TMB Tech Minute. Thanks for listening.
Every organization, government or commercial, is being asked to deliver more with less. Technology is undeniably the key to making that possible.
We invite you to explore the insights in the Tech Guide, available now at guidehouse.com.